Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's Evangelist Jonathan.
Man, you just watched on video is joining me today live in studio. You're in for a special day. I want to welcome everybody in Africa from Cairo, Egypt to Cape Town, South Africa. I want to welcome everybody in the UK. I want to welcome everybody in the United States and then on social media on all the nations of the world. We are here with my uncle, Evangelist Ted Shuttlesworth Sr., who's been in ministry going up on 50 years now. And he's going to share, and it's not like a lot of people that just started prophesying after the pandemic hit. He's going to share what the Lord began to lay on his spirit or put in his spirit in the fall concerning America and the nations of the world. So if you want to hear the word of the Lord today, not guesswork, you're in the right place. Please help me welcome my uncle, Evangelist Ted Shuttlesworth Sr. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good. Great to see you.
As you can see, we're social distancing. Two words that I will never use again after today. That's a bunch of junk, as we all know. But anyhow, yeah, it's good to be here. I feel like we're living in the best time for the church that we've ever lived in. And God, right now, I believe, is separating the wheat from the tares. He's moving by his spirit. Now, the enemy, the Bible says, came in and sowed the tares in the field at night. And in the nighttime, the devil likes to do a lot of things, riot in the streets, burn buildings. The devil's a nighttime creature. But light exposes his activities.
Right.
Jesus is the light. So when you think of evil, you think of darkness. When you think of Jesus, you think he's the light of the world.
Right.
And so what we need to do as the church is shine the light and find every way we can to increase the lumens, make it brighter. Now, Jesus is Jesus all by himself, but he works and flows through us. And so I'm believing God that God will give us divine ideas and strategies to do a great work in this final hour. I'm believing America shall be saved.
Amen. So October, you start to feel in your spirit some things about what's coming in America in 2020, which is really against the grain because everything was soaring. Dow Jones at an all-time high. Nothing on the horizon that you could see in the natural looked problematic. What did the Lord speak to you?
I was up in the Scranton, Pennsylvania area, north of here, northeast. And every day, last year, 2019, I was recovering from where I'd injured my, I saw a hand, I don't know what that meant, friendly cameraman. But anyhow, I had to recover, John, and you and your dad came to see me in the fall of 18, and I could barely move. So I started walking about a mile to two every single day, lifting weights to get strong again. Because, you know, there's things we need to do to cooperate with the covenant of healing God's made with us. Bodily exercise profits little, but I'll take all that I can get out of that little. But if you're not doing your part, I look at it this way when it comes to healing and health and strength. The Bible says, by the hands of the apostles, natural hands, God worked signs and wonders. God needs us. One time I was driving with your grandfather, my dad, and I was telling about a particular minister who was having trouble, and all of a sudden I heard your grandfather say, poor God. I was driving, I said, what do you mean, poor God? He said, we're all he's got to work with. And that's true. God takes us as we are and then makes us as he wants us to be, no question. So I was walking and begin to pray on the walks. And this was September of 2019. And I heard in my spirit, I had a knowledge. The Lord said, I'm going to show you what's going to happen next year. When I got back to the hotel room where we were staying, I got a piece of the hotel stationery and wrote it down as quickly as I could so I wouldn't forget it. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to write this word of the Lord about 2020 to all of my partners and friends. We sent it, I don't know, 30 or 40,000 homes. And when I mentioned that, this year I did a series called Miracles at Midnight. And I had preachers call me and say, I don't believe God showed you all that. So I had my son, Teddy, go into the archives in the computer or wherever he keeps it. I said, find the letter from October of last year. I'm going to reprint it in an abbreviated edition of our Faith Alive. Some of you may have got this, some of you may not. On the cover, we put General Patton himself. Yeah.
It's a good shot.
Yeah. You know, Teddy's making me look better as I get older. I've decided to keep him another year. Amen.
A wise move.
But Teddy took that letter, and I resent it because it was so specific. A lot of people didn't believe God showed it to me last year. But one of the things God told me about 2020, he said 2020 will be a year of a prophetic word from the mouths of God's servants. I want to stop right there. Years ago, I called Brother Shambach, who I had worked with for many years. I said, Brother Shambach, did you ever do anything based on a prophetic word that someone gave you? Now, this is a man, at that time, was on 500 radio stations daily. He was on every Christian television network, plus other stations that he bought time. He'd put a tent up. We'd have 5,000 chairs in the chair truck. They'd all be filled by the second night going into the opening weekend with people standing outside. And this wasn't just when I was with him. He had that track record from 1950 and something right on until the day he went home to be with the Lord.
Right.
How does a man have that kind of strength, that kind of influence, where actually presidents would call him? He never said much about, you know, who reached out to him, movie stars, baseball players. He was a man of the people, both high and low, if you look at it that way, low being, of course, the politician. So I called him. I said, did you ever do anything based on a prophetic word? And his answer was classic. He said, yes, if I had confidence in the person giving me that word.
That's a great line.
Now, let's talk about prophets because Facebook is filled with false prophets every day. I had someone text me, "Did the Lord's going to show you the word you put on?" He already did before I put it on. Right. It's like the lady last year come up to me. She said, "I have a prophetic word for you." I said, "You do?" She said, "Yes. You're going to drown this summer." I looked her right in the eyes. Bonnie remembers this. My wife's off camera. I said, no, I'm not going to. She couldn't believe I challenged the prophetic word coming out of her lying lips. She said, you're not? I said, no, I know how to swim. So not every word people give you is from the Spirit.
No, that's true.
Well, God told me, he said, 2020 will be a year of a prophetic word from the mouths of God's servants. So we need to, I believe, Brother John, we need to separate the true and the false. Now, John 16, the Bible says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead and guide you into all truth. The separator of truth and error is the Holy Spirit. And what I'm holding in my hand, the Word of God, this Holy Bible that contains all we need to get us through not only this time, but all times. Wonderful, wonderful Word. And if you, the more of God's Word you know, the stronger you'll become. And you won't grow up to be a little wonker, as they say in England.
In England.
I hope that's not a bad word in England.
It's a little bad, but...
Is it?
Well, nobody knows.
We don't want to be one.
Nobody. That's right.
I just knew when I heard it when I was in London one time, I didn't want to be a wonker. So the way the guy said it, I knew it. And come to think of it, he was a taxi driver, so maybe I shouldn't have used it. But now, we come into 2020, and a major ministry says... I'm only going to have profits on my television program and on what I do. That's a nice, noble thought. That came out of the fact God spoke to him one night. So I thought, I want to see this. Now, the Bible teaches us, Paul said, and I always try to teach on the gifts a little bit when I'm with my nephew. Prophecy can be judged. It's not sacrosanct. It's not speaking like the Catholic friends believe, ex cathedra. If the Pope says it, it's got to be. No. The Bible is already a report from God in writing that God has given us to live by. And we judge everything by this word. This is the yardstick. Not my experience. Well, you know, Job was in the midst of a battle with Satan, and his friends come and said, Job, if you were spiritual, have you ever felt the wind pass by your face? Just you big bag of hot air, but other than that, no. But you know what I'm saying. People try to pull God on you. Have you ever had this happen or that? Experience is not the determining factor for the operation of the gift of prophecy. Why? Because no matter what you've experienced, that's in the past. But the gift of prophecy operates in the present and the future. It has a two-phase operation. And Paul gives us the threefold definition of the gift of prophecy: exhortation, edification, comfort. And so I don't think people really understand what the prophetic word is. And when the Lord spoke to me last year, it's going to be a year of the prophetic word. I wrote it down, and I committed myself to tell the people that. Why? So that they could judge it. I believe prophecy can be judged. So I saw this fella who needed a real good haircut on one of these programs. And he said, when the gifts operate, an angel comes to me from William Branham. So, number one, and then he said, and I was taken into heaven and saw Brother Branham and so forth. And he talked to me and I talked to him. All right, we call that communicating with the dead.
Right.
And you, dear, precious, ignorant sheep that would follow a man that doesn't even know how to get his hair cut right, you need to be encouraged, because there's a hunger in people. We want to know what is the word of the Lord. But one of the signs of this last hour is false teachers, false prophets, even false apostles. We need to know that, and don't be afraid of it. In other words, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You and I both know, Brother John, there are a lot of precious people that are hungry to hear a word from the Lord. And I believe, now I have to go back to this, God is separating the wheat from the tares. I thought, Lord, this man, they're pushing him like he's from heaven. First of all, the gifts don't operate by an angel. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. But what Paul did teach about the gifts of the Spirit is that they operate severally as the Spirit wills. As the Spirit wills. In the Bible, angels are messengers. They are warriors. They are the ones that guard us, keep us. But they are subservient to the believer. In other words, the angel is not over the believer, but the believer is over the angels. And the Bible says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth unto them that are the heirs of salvation? They are a gift. And I believe in angels. And I'd never badmouth an angel. We know what happens when you do that. The Prince of Persia got kicked. The other angel was just waiting for his buddy to come. And one held the Prince of Persia. The other slapped him silly. But Daniel got delivered.
I like what you said, because it does seem like people just pick one extreme or the other. They're either, you know, prophecy usurps the word of God and they're always searching for somebody that says they have a word, or because they've seen people abuse it, they just say mocking things about these so-called prophets. But there is, you know, obviously the devil tries to discourage people even with healing, where they get around a guy that operates in healing that jades them, that did things wrong. So then you toss out healing or you toss out prophecy. But there is a real operation of the word of knowledge and then the declaring of prophecy.
Yes.
That's a major help. Like when you were here last time I had you on, we walk out to go to lunch, you point at the building across the street and said, you've outgrown your last building, that's your next move. And the building had already sold.
I said, you need to buy this building.
And so I said to Magala, see how much they want. She said, it just sold a few months ago. And you said, when you find out the sale fell through, that's when you know it's yours. 6 days later, that was on Tuesday, on the next Monday, the owner said, those people haven't made one payment on the building. I'm taking it back today. And for some reason, I just wanted to know if you guys were interested. That guy, you know, it's not like he was a believer or watching the program. And then it was the easiest thing. It was like buying something at Target. It was the easiest acquisition I ever made by the word of the Lord. And I like what you said, what Brother Shambach said. Would you ever do something based on a prophetic word? You know, if some guy just told me that, I wouldn't have cared one bit. But to have somebody in your life, and you have it in the book of Acts. The Bible says there was a prophet named Agabus that told the believers about an impending famine,
right,
and got them ready for it. So there, you know, obviously you don't like false prophets. They're bad. But you also never want to be one of those Christians that just make mock of these so-called prophets that always have a word from the Lord. There are people who are in the body of Christ who hear from the Lord. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall ye prosper. What if I didn't listen to my uncle? And we're all jammed in this building, can't get work done. That helped me. So I want the body of Christ to understand this operation, that you don't have to get caught off guard. The Holy Ghost knows things that are to come. Brother Hagin would say, God knows the future better than we know the past.
Exactly. Now, talking about Agabus, there's a point here in the area of the prophetic word we need to grasp. God showed him there was coming, I believe the King James used the word darth or dearth or famine. And what did he do? He began immediately to prepare for it so he could bless the church in Jerusalem. And years ago, when I lived in Virginia Beach, Pat Robertson used to eat at that Denny's across the street from the 700 Club before he built the restaurant in the Founders Inn. But I was in there one night. It was late, maybe midnight. I used to drive through there, and I saw him, and he was praying about some things, and he said, I feel like there's a hurricane that's going to try and hit here, but we're going to pray it away. So the next day on the 700 Club, my wife, Bonnie, sometimes would go over and answer the phones if we were off the road. And, you know, we tried to always stay hooked into ministry, whether it was my dad's church, Brother Robertson's at the 700 Club, always work with people that are pushing the gospel forward. He says, the Lord gave me this dream. There's a hurricane coming and we're going to pray against it. So just because you receive a prophetic word does not mean it's going to happen no matter what. And the Bible says in that same passage in Acts, after Agabus, after they prophesied it, the Bible says, then they determined what they would do.
That's right.
Then they determined what they would do. This is what's missing in a lot of these modern day nonprofits, I'll call them. That's nice instead of false, but they are false because they don't know what they're talking about. It doesn't line up with the Bible. And so I got to say this because I'm being inundated right now in our office, people saying, because once I resent this And it was so exact, and I'll give you more of this in a minute. It was so exact to what was happening this year. All of a sudden, people start calling, does the Lord show you anything about me? But we need to have confidence in hearing the precious Spirit speak as he lifts up Jesus in our world. But if leadership, this is where I was headed with this, if leadership misses it, then it causes the body of Christ to get off. And the weakness in the body of Christ, I believe, is an amalgamation of many, many years of false prophets that have crept in unawares, as the Bible says. Otherwise, how can you explain the weakness in leadership and the fear in churches unless they were not receiving the true meat of the Word of God? I'm amazed at what I hear people saying. I'm amazed at what people say. And when you know in your Bible that many times the Bible says the exact opposite of what we're hearing. Well, let me finish this thought. Sure enough, about a week later, a hurricane forms. It's coming up the East Coast, and it's supposed to hit right there at Virginia Beach, the landing of it. Pat's back on. He said, now, I told you, but he said, I've been praying for this whole last time. And he said, we're going to be all right. So my dad says to me, I want you to go down to the hardware store, buy some sheets of plywood. We're going to nail up the windows, get a 50-gallon garbage can. We're going to fill it with water. And I said, but Dad, Brother Pat said, we've already rebuked it. Dad said, well, he said, that doesn't mean you still don't prepare. And he said, I'm believing with him. So I get the sheet, supply with Dad, and I nail them, fill the garbage can, 50-gallon plastic Rubbermaid with water. We did what you're supposed to do, see. In other words, you have a prophetic word, but it's not a lack of faith to use your intelligence either. And this is what's lacking, is this balance. It's like people, they're either held by one opinion or the other, but they have a hard time understanding the area of balance.
Right.
The area of balance. And the prophetic word from the Holy Spirit will always be a gyroscope. You know what I mean by that, folks? It keeps you balanced. And it'll keep you going the right way. And that's why we do not despise prophesying, because God has chosen it to help us in many areas. Now, let me get back to this. So when you have false prophets, they say things that don't line up with the Word of God. That's your red flag. That's your red flag right there. The gifts do not operate by angels. The gifts don't operate, and they're a bondage to you, and you can't pray against something. You just, oh, well, que sera, sera, whatever's going to happen will happen. You know, hang on. We're about to all go to hell and come back again. No, no, that's not. See, because the gift of prophecy has in it exhortation. It has in it edification, a charging up, and comfort. And one of the things that lets you know if you're hearing a word from God, if there's no comforting anointing in it, it's probably not the gift of prophecy from the Holy Spirit.
That's excellent.
You know what I mean?
That is amazing.
Because the gifts work in a redemptive context. Somehow God has got to get the glory, because we're just men. We're just women seeking after the Lord. Ora shikara bandoka. Hallelujah. Glory. I said glory. Hallelujah. So when I saw in the beginning of the year in January what I call false prophets suddenly on all these television networks and programs, I knew for there to be a counterfeit, never forget, there's always the real. The real. Now here's what the Lord told me about this year. Last year, in September of 2019 in Scranton, Pennsylvania, actually up in Peckville, he said to me, 2020 will be a year of a prophetic word from the mouths of God's servants. There's a dear Assembly of God preacher out in the Midwest, and he had these dreams. And my buddy, Jim Palmer, knows him and talked to him, and the dreams were troubling him. I can't have it. He goes to his board. These are terrible things that are going to happen. Next thing I know, his dreams are all over social media, as if this is going to happen and there's nothing you can do about it. That is a lie of the devil. No prophetic word cancels the authority of a believer.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. There is not one prophetic word that does not cancel or that can cancel the word and the authority of a believer. Not one prophetic word does that. If it's really the Holy Spirit, and since the Spirit and the Word agree or work together, any prophetic word has in it a redemptive measure, and Paul called it comfort. Comfort. The other word, edification, means to charge up. A true prophecy should get you so fired up you can't wait for God to do it.
That's right.
Amen? So I think the lack of teaching on the gifts in our pulpits.
I like the thing that you said to me a couple weeks ago when we were talking on the phone, that like when Philip came to Samaria, his ministry brought joy. Anytime, like it's like when you gave me the word about buying that second building, I didn't come under pressure.
No.
It gave me an excitement. I could feel the Lord on it. And like you said, edification, building up, comfort. And then even with exhortation, even if the Lord needs to bring a correction, it's never just, you did wrong, you're finished. It's, don't do this, do this instead. It always gives you the path forward where you're excited about making moves.
And another thing, when you receive a prophetic word, someone said, Brother Ted's soft-spoken. No, I'm pacing myself so that when I'm 90, I'll still be preaching. Amen. But anyhow, hello. But anyhow, what I'm saying to you, dear folks, is this. Even though I knew God gave me that word, I still prayed over that word. I looked up scriptures for that word. Now, when I wrote this, I had taken the word. That's revelation. Then I had prayed over it. That's inspiration. And then I studied and got scripture for it. That's information. I believe that a true man or woman of God hears from God, no question. My sheep, every believer, my sheep know my voice, and as strangers they will not follow. But what bothered me, John, was this dear young preacher there in the Midwest. These dreams were troubling him. Now, a dream is not necessarily always prophetic. But let's just say it was the Lord warning him in a dream like he did Joseph. Joseph still had the ability to make some moves so that the destruction of Jesus couldn't take place, though Herod killed all the children under the age of two.
That's right.
So even if it were, you can. It's not like, well, just here comes the storm, here comes the problem. No, if God did it that way, he gives you the ability to make some moves so that it will not bring that destruction, that despair, that desperation into your spirit. Because at the end of the day, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
And I don't care how many prophets. Oh, my goodness. I just went through. Bonnie showed me last night how to get rid of people out of my Facebook and Twitter account. I mean, thousands were slain by the Holy Ghost last night that was in my finger. Glory to God. So the Lord said to me, 2020 will be a year of a prophetic word. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesying. That's the first scripture that came to my spirit. If a prophetic word is going forth, we can't despise it.
Right.
But we got to understand what is true, what is false. What is true, what is false. And we have the word of God for that. Then the Lord said to me, he said, the prophets, when I spoke to them, I told them to prophesy against certain things. So that prophetic word was not like, well, we got to go through it, but instead prophesy against it, like he told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 25:30. We're not speaking against people. First of all, God's not speaking against humanity, because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son for humanity. We're not speaking against people, but we're speaking against principalities, demon spirits. Now, here's the thought, and I want every one of you to get this. Clear your mind. The devil does not know when Jesus is coming again. Jesus himself said, this is reserved for my Father. Times, it's in his hands. So in that the devil does not know, he has had to have an antichrist, small a, ready in every age. Now, what we're seeing right now obviously could be a precursor to what God's doing, but how many have I heard lately say, we're in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation? No, no, no. And again, I say unto you, no. But we're in a period of time that Jesus taught in Matthew 24 and in Mark 13. He called it the beginning of sorrows. Now, here was the word God gave me for this year. When the Lord told Daniel to speak against what was going on in that nation, there was a prince of Persia that he had to deal with. The prince of Persia. Are you listening to me? That was a demon spirit. Angels come. Daniel prays. He prophesies. Now, Persia is actually modern-day Iran. After World War I and when General Allenby went into Jerusalem and Palestine was established by this British general, he had a lieutenant whose name was Winston Churchill. His job, his assignment, was to draw geographical borders in what was, in those days, Persia, ancient Persia, which is in your Bible. Well, Winston Churchill decided he would divide Persia into Iraq and Iran. But the divisions, and it's in one of Winston Churchill's volumes, he wrote a lot of books, but The History of Western Civilization is what I'm referring to. He took the Bible, Winston Churchill, a lieutenant, he took the Bible and he divided ancient Persia by the rivers and so forth that are mentioned in this book. Did he realize that someday Ezekiel 38 would be affected by his geographical assignment? Yes, because he said he did. He said he did. God always has somebody that believes his word. And the Lord said to me last year, he said, Iran and the leadership will try to influence the election in the United States. Someone said, wait a minute, I heard that the other day on the news. Yeah. 2019, the Lord told me what they were going to try and do. Jonathan, I say what if, okay, because we don't know yet. What if the explosion in Lebanon was actually brought on by Iran? What if those missing nuclear suitcase bombs, tactical bombs that Russia doesn't know where they're at and haven't for many, many years? We do know the guy Padilla in Chicago, that we have trucks that sniff for the radioactive sense, but physiochemistry, now they know they can make these nuclear bombs without radiation. I mean, there are some things that the American people just aren't fully aware of, but there's all kinds of things that our technology has produced. But that's how they found Padilla in Chicago. I was told by a man that was part of the detail. Goes to our dear friend Bobby in you know where, Louisville,
right,
Brother Bob. So things go on, folks. Just know that. There are things going on. We don't even know the half of what's going on. And if we went by every news reporter that doesn't know themselves what's going on, you'd be confused as much as a termite in a yo-yo. You wouldn't know what's going on. No, we need the prophetic word to cut away the fallacies of men, the lies of men, the lies of Satan, the plans of the devil, the plans of the evil. What the Holy Spirit does, he takes the believer on a fast track to your best possible life. No matter what's going on around you, the gift of prophecy steers you in the right direction if it's anointed.
Amen.
Now, when I heard about that bomb, I looked at it, and then I watched it as it began to mushroom like a cloud, and then you look at the shock waves. There's no natural explosive weapon like that. We probably saw a tactical weapon. I don't know. But what if, let's say John is the president. Mr. President, we have all these missing nuclear tactical weapons. And if you don't do a certain thing in the United States, or maybe they say to Israel, if you don't do what we tell you, or maybe they say to a nation, we're going to show you we have one. We're going to let one loose. Boom, it's gone. But what the world may not know behind the scenes are these evil people, demonically inspired, trying to lord it over others for control. But behind them is the devil. The devil hates you. The devil hates all of this world, all of humanity. Isaiah 14, when he fell, the Bible says, thou art the one that made the nations. It says, weaken the nations, King James. But one translation, that made the nations sick. All sickness, all disease is demonic in its origin. And what we're seeing right now prophetically is a culmination. And I know my nephew announced we're going to talk about what's going to go on in the nations. And tonight I'll pick up a little bit more detail about that. But I want you to know something. Everything is taking place. And the Holy Spirit, who knows the beginning from the end, and God, who reigns over everything, has given you authority as a believer to take authority. And so when a prophetic word comes, it doesn't mean it has to happen. But now by the Holy Spirit's revelation, you can pray against it. You can pray against it.
Now you think about Isaiah 38 is the clearest one to me. When Isaiah, it's not like he was a lightweight prophet, and he comes in and delivers the word of the Lord to King Hezekiah, set your affairs in order, for you're going to die. Mm. And Hezekiah puts on sackcloth and ashes and tells the Lord, I don't want to die. And he spins him on his heels and comes back and says, I'll give you 15 more years, and I'll give you victory against your current enemy since you ask. So nothing's set. Like, you have to just sit back and get your head kicked in by the devil.
I know. Brother Shambaugh used to preach that. He called it How to Reverse a Prophecy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I've got it on cassette. Cassette, for you that don't know, is an ancient way of recording voices.
That's right.
Right after papyrus, we had cassette. So the thing that we need to know, so I'm talking about Iran. The first thing God says, speak about Iran. And we just learned, what, a couple of weeks ago, that they're trying to interfere in our elections, counterfeit ballots. That's why we don't need to be writing in letters and all of that. You need to get your rear end up and get out and vote, because you need to be right there. And in Camden, years ago, my friend ran for mayor of Camden, and all of the precinct where he was the strongest, all of the mail-in votes disappeared in Camden, and they couldn't find it, and he called me. I said, I told you they weren't going to let you win. And so, you know, politicians are so crooked, they got their hands in each other's pockets. You can't let a politician determine your future. So what the gift of the Spirit does, it cuts through the evil machinations of men, the evil thinking of men, and it brings you into a place where the glory of God can anoint your mind and anoint your life and anoint your home and anoint your family, the gift of prophecy. So I begin to pray against Iran. And the next thing God told me, he said, next year there will be terrorism in the United States and the world. Prophesy against it. Well, when the disease first came out, I remember even my brother, your dear father, put a post that said, don't eat bats, and he quoted from the Old Testament. And people are saying it came from bat soup. If you go on my YouTube channel, before they ever said anything about a lab, the Lord said, tell the people there is a lab in Wuhan that released a virus. There's a lab in Wuhan. Wasn't bats. So I went on the record right away. I think 5 days later, they said there was a lab in Wuhan. But you see, even the spirit can show you things. And when I got caught away in the spirit, the Lord showed me they were working on this virus and putting stuff in what looked to me like a bubble and creating a biological weapon. And I believe that's what was released on the world, and you're not going to tell me different. I believe that this was not an accident. I personally believe this was a real designed attack. And there's many things in the natural I know that I won't say over social media, but you know, over the years, obviously, I've met with people that are in power, and I know what I'm talking about. But before I knew it, the Lord told me. Second thing, he said, prophesy against financial problems. This terrorist thing would affect the money. The Lord told me that. Now, I asked them to take from my Miracles at Midnight some months ago, and I want you to see this. The first one, I call it President Trump and the Baseball Prophecy. Teddy was on with me. And if you could do that, is his name Rom, the guy in the back room? Do you have that? Show that one first, please. Everybody watch this and see what your spirit, what you receive from it. Go ahead.
I had a vision. I saw three people playing baseball, and I thought, this is crazy. This is crazy. I saw someone on first base throwing a ball to someone on second base, and then I saw it was a woman on second base dressed in red catching the ball, and a man, we used to call it the pickle, a squeeze play, trying to put a runner out. And then it got clear, and I saw the man on first base. And on the ball, I saw the word disease as he threw it, back and forth, back and forth. Then I saw the face of the runner, and I prophesied to you that runner was our president. And then I heard the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, because President Trump, I hope someone tells you this, because you stood with the nation of Israel and you moved the embassy to Jerusalem and you considered God's children, the promise of Genesis has now come into operation for you. What you made happen for God's people, God is now making happen for the United States of America, and it shall spread to the whole world. Hallelujah. Poringa bababondo. I feel it again. And I heard the Lord say, they have missed it. They've overthrown it. And I see the ball go over second base, and the woman dressed in red tries to catch it, but she can't catch it. And the president touches second base, third base, comes back home, stands with his hands raised. And I hear the voice of the Lord, America shall be saved.
Catching his pitches, Nationals pitcher Sean Doolittle. Dr. Fauci, when you're ready, it's your pitch. Fauci.
Now, John, that's exactly what I saw in the vision. I saw a gray-headed man, and in another one, this prophecy we play today was 3 weeks after I first prophesied it. And I said, I see a gray-headed man throwing the ball. What looked like a woman on second base, dressed in red. The colors, of course, of the national team are red, but I believe that's a second part of this. But in the prophecy, God told me, he said, tell the people, when they see the man throw the ball, and I saw the ball rotating in the air, and I saw the word disease over it, and it went wide. It went over the head of the person trying to catch it. They couldn't get it. And then the squeeze play was, I saw the president round second, third, and come home with his hands raised. And I heard, now I didn't say this on Miracles at Midnight, but this isn't my program. This is Brother John's, and he's used to being thrown off.
Correct.
The whole prophecy God gave me said, he will come home safe from this. And if I want, I'll put him in for a third term. Well, constitutionally right now, that's impossible. The only way that could happen would be if they swept the nation in the next election and put in a majority in the House, the Senate, and the president back. Then all bets are off.
That's a great word.
But I had John send this one because I kind of censored it a little bit. Only because, I mean, I've got it on record, and that's enough for you to see what I said happened. The ball went crazy. And then the Lord said, prophesy a blessing. See, prophecy has in it a blessing. And I'm just hitting the highlights of this because I'm going to talk to you about a sign gift, what this means in the Holy Ghost. But then the Lord said, prophesy a blessing. 2020 will be a year of shaking. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But God's peace will prevail. So when you see people committing suicide, filled with despair, they need the prophetic word in you by the Holy Spirit to release God's peace to them. Because the natural man receives not the things that are of God. Simple as that. Sad, but true. Which is why we need Holy Ghost preachers and every believer speaking prophetically to our generation right now. Because if we don't, we're going to lose this generation to destruction. The last thing God told me, he said, but God's peace will prevail, and you'll see the hand of the Lord operating on your behalf. And then the Lord said to me, and the year shall finish, and it will be glorious. It will be glorious. And I thank God for that, John. Amen.
Amen.
Now, here's the second one I asked them to show. Because I want you to understand how the gift of prophecy works. It's a sign, and it's a gift. The sign is usually what the gift is being used for. Just like you turn on your car, little signs start popping up on your dashboard. Tire pressure, oil, gas. They're a sign, but they're not necessarily the car itself. But it's about to be used. The gift of prophecy is what God is using, but he has little signs that tell you you're on the right track. This one I call the New York City prophecy. Watch this, folks.
When I was praying, the Lord said to me, the devil wanted to try and take one of the most powerful days in Christianity, the Resurrection Sunday, our Easter, and try to bring it to naught. But the word of the Lord came to me today, and he said, I'm going to take Resurrection Sunday, and I'm going to perform a sign and a wonder for the whole world to see my power.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you, as quick as that disease came, as quickly Jesus shall remove it in the next few hours, days, as we go around the world. You're going to start hearing it. They're going to say, where did it go? Where did it go? But I prophesy, God who is God, God who is our Father, Jesus who is our brother, they stand strong as we praise. And the Bible says when you praise God, God stands up. He spins around. And he comes yes. down to this earth, and he inhabits, he lives in the praises of his people. I dare you to praise God right now
Amen.
For this attack of the enemy.
Thank you.
Evil
Jesus.
Men and those that are seducers, yes. that are waxing worse and worse, shall not overcome the blood of Jesus Christ, nor the redemption of the cross.
Hallelujah.
I prophesy to you, as quick as this thing has come, as quickly the Lord says, it shall go as a sign and a wonder unto the world. Hallelujah. Even now, Father, we loose you now to remove this thing. Take it off yes. the earth. Take it off the earth, and let the glory of yes. the Lord, as the waters cover the sea, cover the earth now yes. in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Today. The number is down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that.
I love Brother Andrew, but he's absolutely wrong. God did it. Now, we didn't have time to show the whole clip. You can watch it, I guess, on YouTube. I don't know where they put it. Brother Copeland gave me a clip of Oral Roberts prophesying a vision in 1996 of something in New York City, like a blanket. Jesus comes and took it off the city. And then he said the fire then spread to the nations of the world. Then I said, I want to play this prophecy by David Wilkerson that Mike Evans had. And so in that particular program, David Wilkerson spoke of a plague that would come to New York City, but what God would do. Then I gave the prophecy that God had given me, but I gave it after I knew of those two prophecies. It's very important you understand that. So that was not the first time I prophesied that, but on that Good Friday, I said in New York City, on Monday, you're going to hear everything has gone away. My son-in-law's sister is a nurse in a hospital in New York City. She said on Monday, though they were still doing the same things, the ventilators, everything they were doing, people just started sitting up in their rooms and in the wards, and they were healed. They just sat up, ready to go home. It just disappeared. The governor, the best he could say is, don't say it was God, but the nurses and doctors were doing the same things they were doing before Monday, all up until that time. No, it was God. And the ministry of the sign gift is very important to understand. I'll give you two Bible examples. What do we mean when we say a sign and a gift? There are nine gifts of the Spirit. And in particular, we're talking here about the gift of prophecy. But there had to be a sign, because the whole prophecy I gave was this. And as quick as it came, it shall go. Right now, in my opinion, they're trying to prop it up now politically. I don't believe it's the actual problem. And I'll tell you why. Even if you go to the government website, everything's pretty much flattened. Wasn't the whole thing to flatten the curve? Wasn't that the term they used?
That's what they told us.
Pretty much flattened. Today, Governor Cuomo said, we haven't had anybody die for 3-4 days now. Praise the Lord. And he didn't say praise the Lord. But anyhow, what I'm trying to say is, when you get the church praying against any disease, there's power in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. That name that is above every name. Well, COVID's a name. And Jesus is above that disease and every other disease. And so, Brother John, there has to be a sign, gift. Now, in the Bible, it was always for the believer, not for the unbeliever. Old Testament, New Testament. God gives us these signs by the gift of prophecy I'm talking about right now, to encourage us. Now, in Joel's prophecy, Joel in the Old Testament, Joel chapter 1, verse 7, God is speaking through his prophet about how he watches over the nation of Israel. God is watching over the nation of Israel. And when the enemies try to come to destroy that nation, he says, you've barked my fig. He called the nation of Israel in Joel 1:7 a fig or a fig tree. Now, the in Bible school, they called it types and shadows. I call it signs. Jesus said in Matthew 24, Mark 13, also in Luke, that when you see the fig tree bud again, then you'll know that the coming of the Lord is nigh, and this generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Jesus said so. He was talking about the nation of Israel. Now, under Roman occupation, eventually in 70 AD, Titus, the Roman general, swept in and destroyed the nation of Israel. Even the prophecy in Matthew 24, for Jesus was a prophet, like unto Moses. And Jesus said, when you see one stone that's not left upon another, then you'll know that these things are going to begin to take place. There were three questions. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? What's going to be the end of the world? And so when Jesus answers, he's answering in a threefold way. But the first question, when shall these things be, had to do with the temple. That was 70 AD when the Roman general Titus, as recorded by Josephus Flavius in his Antiquities, swept into Jerusalem. They set fire to the temple, the things that would burn. But you remember the Bible says when it was built, it was stone upon stone, no mortise. That means no mortar. And the golden instruments and those instruments on the wall melted. Josephus says, when the Roman soldiers saw the glistening of the gold, they upturned the stones and scraped with their swords the spoil. Literally, in the invasion of Titus, the Roman general, in 70 AD, the first question was answered. That's when it was, 70 AD. When shall these things be concerning the temple? Secondly, what shall be the sign of thy coming? The budding of the fig tree, Mark 13, Matthew 24, Luke's gospel. What is the fig tree? Joel 1, 7. It's the sign. It's the sign. So our focus should not be upon the United States of America right now. Our focus needs to be upon the nation of Israel. And when the Lord gave me that vision, I saw it. I've only had four or five in my whole life, about one every 10 years. I don't get them every other day with cheese on them and onions. No. And that's the problem I have with these false prophets. They get something every day. Oh, there's a difference between praying and the Lord speaking to you and leading you by the Spirit and a sign, a prophetic word. Completely different. Just because you have ice cream in your refrigerator doesn't make you the Dairy Queen. And so people think, well, I got a prophetic word. I'm a prophet. You're probably not. The fact that you thought it proves you're not. You don't go around trying to prove who you are. You just do what God calls you to do. Titles. Ministry does not consist of titles. It consists of, Paul said, manifestation and demonstration of the Spirit. In other words, put your money where your mouth is would be a nice way to say it. So folks, listen to me. Just a minute. Please be blessed. God will give you something from his word as a sign, and then by the gifts of the Spirit, a sign gift to confirm the good thing he's going to do. Because anything God does is good. James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father. So some of these ministers are saying God sent COVID as judgment. And I've come to the point now, I believe it's judgment. You don't even know what you're talking about. God is not judging the world with evil. He's not a partner with Satan.
Nope.
He's the one that heals diseases, heals sicknesses, heals this disease, heals all diseases. But if your leadership does not understand the sign gift, then they cannot properly prepare the people. What did Paul say in Corinthians? If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, there's the sign, a trumpet. If it gives an uncertain sound, who? That's you, that's me, shall prepare for battle. You need the sign to help you in this spiritual warfare, and it's one battle, the good fight of faith, one battle the devil can never win, and it's the one battle the child of God always wins.
Amen.
No question. We're not going down to defeat. And let me encourage you, the devil is not going to write the last chapter of your life's history.
Amen.
God is not going to let Satan write the last chapter for the church. But in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so Israel was a sign to and connected to the end times, or what Jesus called the beginning of sorrows. The time we're living in right now is not the tribulation. It is the time Jesus referred to as the beginning of sorrows. And when did that start? When the fig tree budded again. When did Israel become a nation? May what, John? 1940?
May 14th, 1948.
48? Now, let's talk about a generation in the Bible. How many people can we make mad in one broadcast?
See if you can beat my record.
Okay. Moses said, man's days shall be 70. That's 70 years. But by reason of strength, 80 years. Yet Moses lived to be 120. My dad used to say, I loved his example better than his testimony. And that's true. Now, some people take from the Old Testament what God said to Noah as the numbering of man's days. When God said to Noah, man's days shall be 120 years. But if you look at it historically, and even our dear Jewish rabbis agree with this, from when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord till the completion of the ark and the door was shut was 120 years. So within the context of the word to Noah, man's day shall be 120 years, Noah had 120 years to preach repentance to his world, the antediluvian civilization. God gave him 120 years to repent and get things right. So in that case, the 120 years did not refer to how old people would be. How old did Noah live after that?
Long time.
Yeah, more than that. So that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about sometimes God puts the scales of justice under your feet, under a nation's feet, under our world. And he gives you a space of time to repent and get right. Sin, S-I-N, is the culprit. It's not racial, systematic racism and systematic imbalance in our... No, it's sin. It's not looting and burning and thieving and stealing. It's sin. The problem in our world, what's wrong with the world right now? Sin. What's missing? Preachers of righteousness like Noah. Where are they? Where are the preachers that say it's not about being black or white or red or yellow? Now, here's what I teach and I preach and I will till Jesus comes. If you're black, you should say black is beautiful. If you're white, say white is wonderful. If you're Asian, say Asians are awesome. If you're Latino, Latinos are lovely. If you're First Nations, Cherokee, Ojibwe, Mohawk, say First Nations are fabulous. Why? Because all mankind was made in the image of God.
That's right.
Everyone. And all that you see going on is an angry devil who knows his time is short. And he tries to bring division among the nations. Nation, Jesus said, Matthew 24, shall rise against nation. Doesn't mean God's doing it. It means there's a devil that's loose in our world. And if we don't have the church right now stand up and declare sin is sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin, then I tell you, the church is going to hell in a handbasket. I said this the other day. I was talking to a man I believe is a great man of God. Did you ever hear of Steve Muncy in Chicago?
Yes.
He and I were talking Sunday. And I said, Steve, Brother Muncy, and Rich Wilkerson, it was a call together. I said, Now, Rich, Steve, I would follow you men to hell and back. Why? They've proven themselves. But I said, some people, I wouldn't even follow them to the bathroom in the church, let alone back out again. Proven ministries preach against sin and preach righteousness and preach revival to the church. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. Oh, hallelujah. There's signs that God gives us. So we're not in the tribulation. Some people have a flat tire on the way to church. Oh, changed my doctrine. I was pre-trib, now I'm mid-trib. I'm in the tribulation. My tire's flat. One time I was with Rodney Howard Brown. You know him, young fella. Starting out in the ministry now down in Florida. Doing good. I hear he's doing good. But Brother Rodney, who I love, said this. We were in a service, and a guy got up, and he said to Pastor Rodney, he said, I have a prayer request. I have clinical depression. Brother Rodney says, how long have you had it? It hit me this afternoon. Brother, clinical depression's when they study you for months, if not years. And he just basically stuck a pin in the guy's prayer request. Amen. Some people have a little problem, and suddenly they make the problem bigger than what it is by their confession. You've got to guard the words of your mouth. Now, tonight, I'm going to tell you about three upcoming battles in the nations. I think two of them will see them. I'm going to show you why the battle of Ezekiel 38 is not the battle of Armageddon. Because there's two nations that we know that are in the battle of Armageddon that are not mentioned in Ezekiel 38. So it can't be it. And it says there is a destruction of the weaponry and things are buried 7 months. And yet Armageddon's at the end of the tribulation. There's no sense to bury anything or burn anything. It's over. There are 10 differences between Ezekiel 38 and the battle of Armageddon. Secondly, there are two minor skirmishes. Now, they could happen one day, next day. They could happen that quick. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we've still got four prophetic battles left on this earth. And things are not going to get better for the world. It's like Burt Clendenin, a preacher friend of my dad. He was preaching on television about the coming of the Lord and the things that would happen, preaching on Bible prophecy, and I like this. He goes into the bank to bring a deposit in. The banker said, what are you whistling for? I heard you preach on TV. You said everything's going to hell. And Bert looked at him. He said, I'm happy because he said, that's your world, sir, not mine. That's your world, sir, not mine. And so people don't understand the joy of the Lord that we have as believers, but it's all right. You can have this joy too if you give your heart to Christ. And turn away from sin. Sin will kill you. Brother Shambaugh used to preach, get rid of sin before it gets rid of you. And that's the truth. So as we look at the nations of the world, the main problem in our world is sin. Some of you, you're in sin. You know, did I tell you I put my tent up in York, Pennsylvania 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah, I followed it.
What have you been doing, Brother Ted, in the summer? Putting my tent up and preaching revivals, and hundreds are getting saved. We're getting close to 1,000 salvations for the summer, June, July. Still good. The rest of this month.
Way to go.
Going after souls. Well, I called a girl out. I wish I'd have brought that clip, but I didn't. And I said, the Lord shows me. There's something wrong with your blood. I said, even when you were a child, they told you you had. And I paused because the name didn't come to me. I turned to my wife. I said, that's the first time she and I worked in a gift together. I said, you know the name of it. It's the guy I called out in New Jersey. Sickle cell. Thank you, Bon. Sickle cell. And she started crying. The girl didn't. She said, my mama told me when I was born, they thought I had sickle cell. Now, this girl's never been around church, never been around the anointing. The sign is, if God knows that, then he knows everything. It's a gift. In that case, the word of knowledge. It revealed something. And I told her her condition she had then, laid hands on her. God healed her. She came up with a man, tall fella, and she said, is there any way you could marry us? before the tent comes down. I think, Bonnie, that's the first wedding that we've ever done under the tent, right? So on the closing night, hundreds jammed in there. The mayor said, please come again. We didn't have one complaint.
That's a miracle.
Not one complaint. His best friend is Governor Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania. I had a prophetic word before I ever went there. A young fellow, Tim Bennett, said, the Lord shows me you're going to see York shaken and you'll see Pennsylvania clear to Harrisburg shaken.
Wow.
And the good report went from the mayor, Michael Helprich of York, Governor Tom Wolf. Hey, it's time to take over as a child of God. And tonight I'm going to tell you the real story about masks. The real story about masks. You don't want to miss it. Is that at 11 o'clock tonight?
11 tonight, New York City time.
New York City, East Coast. Central time, Elvis Presley time, 10. California time, 8. Anchorage, 7. Honolulu, 6. Going the other way around the world, 5 a.m. in London, and just keep on climbing. And it'll be 11 o'clock in the morning in Manila, and it'll be 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Australia. Get the word out. Tonight, I'm going to show you the nations of the world. And I'll tell you this much. We're going to take the mask off on the gift of prophecy and what is really happening. I was going to title it, What in Hell is Going On? That's talking about evil. What is the devil planning in the bowels of hell? But instead, I'm going to call it Take the Mask Off. Amen. And what I want you to get in your spirit, God has a plan for your life. The sign gift for you may not be what it is for pastor, evangelist, apostle, prophet, teacher. I'm talking about the leadership of the body of Christ. But we need the fivefold leaders. We need that. But it doesn't mean that they're above the working of God. If anything, to whom much is given, much is required. The fivefold ministry is required to do even more than the believer. And the believer is required to honor them with double honor. So there is a difference between ministry and those that are being ministered to, the believer. Don't ever mix that up, because what we went through the last 10 years is an undermining of the authority of leadership in the body of Christ, especially in the United States. Now you're paying the price for it. You cut the legs out of true leadership, and now many of you are being led by donkeys instead of racehorses. How many knows there's a difference between a donkey, I cleaned it up, I fixed it up, and a racehorse? Sure there is. And leadership is very, very critical in this hour. I'm working right now, and I want you to pray, and all you that are watching, I'm calling it Operation USA. And the Lord told me when I was standing on the platform, I didn't forget the girl that needs to get married. We'll get back to her, but right now she's changing into her dress. John, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to contact every governor in the United States. And so my executive assistant, she typed up a list of all the governors, their names, addresses, everything, phone numbers, facts, got it. The Lord said, I want you to pray over it, and I'll show you a word of knowledge for each one. Yes, Lord. Then mail it to them. I'll make sure they get it. That's angels. That's the Holy Spirit. And I sent out the first five Tuesday. And I mean, I got a specific word like I couldn't believe. Now listen, instead of speaking against leaders, why don't you pray for them? Actually, that's the Bible. Pray for them that have rule over you. The governor of Kentucky, his dear wife almost died of COVID. They tell me, I didn't know this, I found out afterwards. They tell me that the fear that gripped him has caused him to react in the way he's reacting. See, the devil knows. He pokes you here, and he knows you're going to do this. Action, reaction, a law of physics. The governor of Maryland, I prayed for him just yesterday again. Governor Hogan just is now recovering from cancer. The Lord said, tell him this affliction shall not arise a second time in his flesh. Nahum 1:9. Whatever word God gave me, and my executive assistant typed it. I signed it. Post office, God help them. Sent it. By now they should have got it. If not by tomorrow, they will. And the Lord speaks to you. Ann Mills, I don't know her. I saw her name in your mother's post. And the Lord said to me a word. And I wrote it. And I laid my hands on that letter and sent it to her. Governor Sununu in New Hampshire. The Lord gave me a word for him. My friend, a pastor there in Concord, prays with him and his wife just got the baptism in the Holy Spirit. These governors are people like you and I. They need the gospel. But if we allow politics, and I refuse to do it, if we allow politics to keep us from obeying the word, then what does that say about you? What does that say about you? No, you have to pray for those that have rule over you. You must, that we might live a what? Peaceable life.
Right.
What is the operation of the gift of prophecy? Comfort or peace. If we're not in a peaceable time, it's because we haven't prayed for leadership. If we're not enjoying the comfort of the Holy Ghost, it's because we haven't prayed. Also, let me add in leadership, ministers. So we started this Operation USA, and I'm into the next five. And whoever you speak against, you disqualify yourself to minister to. And so churches say, we're going to sue this guy, and we're going to sue the governor, we're going to sue the state. First of all, you do not have to shut down because they say it. That's called a mandate. It has to go through legislature, Senate, be approved and signed to be a law. Some of you are living under a phony mandate. You have the Constitution. I'm talking to Americans. Other nations, I don't know how you're doing. I'm just saying, by and large, many Americans, because of fear and not understanding the time we're living in, understanding signs and gifts, they have buckled under to a demonic deception. What does that say about you? What does that say about me? And to me, see, it's not about whether you shut the church or open the church. I'm not held by one idea because it's no more a lack of faith to shut your church than it is a lack of wisdom to open it. Every pastor is the father of his people. I do believe we should take care of the elderly. Right now, we should be cutting their yards, going and picking up groceries, helping the older folks. But by and large, if you're under 60, 65, you stand more of a chance of being hit by lightning than dying. Did you know that?
I did.
It's just people are nuts. You probably said it one night when I was sleeping on the couch. Amen. I let Jonathan put me to sleep. I go, as soon as he comes on at night, I just, amen. No, I listen if I can. Praise God. But what I'm saying to you, and I'm not just rambling, I'm leading up to a point. Sin is the culprit, not leaders, not church leaders, not government leaders, sin and Satan. Well, here they come, the last night of the tent meeting, York, Pennsylvania. The young woman and her husband, both now are saved. She says she spoke in tongues since the night that the word of knowledge revealed the condition she's had since she was a child. I bring them up on the ramp, the prayer ramp, and we marry them. And I had a local pastor who is licensed in this state finish it off. So it's all, we don't tie slip knots. I told him, I said, you're married for life now. And they gave their hearts to Christ. They're not shacking up, living in sin. This is how you know people have repented. They turn from the wrongdoing that they were involved in. If leadership is not strong in presenting righteousness and repentance, I'm talking about the fivefold ministry gift, then the people will be looking for anything that comes along to give them hope. And that's why these false prophets, false teachers, and false apostles are abounding, because the devil will fill the void. He'll do it. But you, my friend, are different. Someone said, how do you know I'm different? Because you're watching this. This is a different kind of ministry. What we're saying to you is, God can give you a sign. First of all, he gave us this word. No greater sign than the testimony of Jesus Christ, for it is the true spirit of prophecy.
Right.
Talking about a sign gift, a prophetic word. That true spirit of prophecy is Christ himself. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I'm telling you, wherever you're watching this, I want you to type in the comments, if you will, a very, very simple, faith-filled phrase. I will follow Jesus. Begin to do that right now. And as you do it, let there be a solidification in your heart, a strength. No matter what comes my way, I will follow Jesus. I will follow Jesus. Lloyd Joshua, Stephanie, Alex, come on, folks, King and Priest, Samantha, Timothy, there they are. Amen. On Facebook, I will follow Jesus. Jennifer, Cheryl, Sherry Wilmoth Vance, you better, you're working with me. Amen. Hallelujah. She's my assistant that's typing these up. Hallelujah. Linda Richards, Jerry Franks, great young man. I love to watch him run when the power of God comes on him. Angela Yobi, I will follow Jesus. I will follow Jesus. You remember, John, years ago, your dad used to play and sing in the church. I have decided, remember that song? To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And here's the part. No turning back. No turning back. Won't you go with me and Jonathan? Maybe you're watching and you're not following Jesus. You can give your heart to Christ right now in this afternoon as you're watching, maybe a lunch break if you're back to work. All you got to say is, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Take out an old stony heart of selfishness and sin and disobedience. Put within me a heart of flesh. And I confess, I believe, Jesus, you were raised from the dead just for me. And right now, sin's power is broken, and I am free. I am free. Hallelujah. If you just prayed that, why don't you type that word in? Free. I'm free. I'm free. And Brother John, I'm just telling you, God already knows the beginning from the end.
Yes, he does.
But the believer has to operate in authority. In authority. They told me I couldn't go to York. They told me 25 people. I said, tell them, instead of a revival, call the York City office back and tell them it's going to be a protest. And then I picked the side of the town where all my African-American brothers and sisters lived and Latinos lived. They didn't know any better. They didn't know who I was. And they never bothered us. And the mayor, the last day of the meeting, said, we didn't get one complaint. You know what I did? I had the ladies go out and get boxes of groceries. Because, you know, some of the feeding programs, they don't have the food right now to bring in trucks like we normally do.
Right.
Which I didn't know. I said, that's all right. I got enough faith. I'll buy a box of groceries. And I'd pray, which house do I send it to over here? And which? And my guys would take it. And the first one they did, the guy said, oh, my mother just called. We have no money. She needs food. This, and he said, yeah, the Lord spoke to Brother Shuttlesworth when he drove on the tent lot that this house needed it right now. And he said, bring it over right now. And house by house by house. And hundreds of people were blessed. The last night of the tent, we had multiplied hundreds upon hundreds jammed under that tent. Crazy. And, you know, we started out, you could feel the fear. People had masks on. But I kept preaching faith, kept preaching healing, and then demonstrating deaf, crippled, all kinds of miracles. And I looked around the tent the last night, and there wasn't one mask on the people's face. Not one.
Yeah, it clears the fear out.
The fear is what's causing people to react the way they are. Because the news media, they're hand in glove with Satan. No question.
No question.
I love, did you see the black lady, I forget her name, from Africa, the doctor?
And Stella Emanuel.
Oh, she's telling the reporter, demons, the demons, man. When I first got back from preaching to Haiti and Africa and India, I said this in 1990, America does not know that there are real demon spirits at work.
Right.
We're an advanced, fast-paced, technological age, but when you go over to these nations where people are floating in the air and their eyes roll back in their head and they begin to speak in a different language to you. I was in India where they speak the Malayalam tongue and the Hindu priest came down around the platform and started speaking in English. The demons did. We know you're a man of God. I said, thank you, devil. We know you're sent by God. I wasn't even sure I was supposed to be there, but thanks, devil. He knew more than I knew right then. Because sometimes we do these things by faith. But when you stir up the devil, and that's what's really going on in the nation, all these riots and stuff, John. Righteousness. We've got leadership that's righteous. You got leaders in our government that meet every morning in a prayer meeting before they go into their offices there in the White House.
Right.
Pray. Some pray in tongues. And what happens when you have righteousness? You build a fire. What happens when you build a fire? Paul said that's when the snake came out, fastened itself on his hand. But the same thing that's bringing these snakes out is the same thing that's going to destroy them. The fire of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Would you mind praying for everybody who's watching before we wrap up?
I don't mind at all. I was just looking one last time. For you that are listening and there's something in your heart, whether it's a sin you've committed or something you've omitted, you need to get right with Christ. My first prayer is for souls. Oh, Lord, I pray right now that you would, by the Holy Spirit, convict every man, every woman of sin. You filthy devil of hell, loose the prisoners now. I command the prison door to open. And I say to every one of you that are bound in any area, be set free in Jesus' name. Now, if you're sick, you need healing, if you'll type in your comments, because later we lay our hands on these and pray. If you'll type in the comments what you're believing God to heal you of. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For the Lord says, I'm about ready to do a mighty thing in Australia. It shall be mighty, and the people of the world shall see it. But I'll start it over in New Zealand, and then it shall spread into the continent of Australia. For I have more work that I am going to do in Australia, and I am not done, and I will not be thwarted by man or demons, declares the Lord. So release your faith. Speak my power over the globe. Speak my power over this planet. For I tell you, the latter shall be greater than the former. That is my word. And there is already started a mighty awakening. And do not go by what you see or hear, for these are nothing more than lies of the enemy in your news media. For I call them lying spirits, says the Lord. And lying spirits have been put in their mouth, the Lord would say. Lying spirits. But the spirit of truth is, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Then shall the end come. And then shall the end come. So lift up your hands wherever you hear this now and declare, I have a work to do and I will not be thwarted. And the devil shall not write the last chapter of my life. but the Holy Spirit shall cause me to have a tongue that is like the pen of a ready writer, and I shall speak, write, and declare words that will bring to pass the last outpouring and reign of God. For this is the day that the Lord has established and made for the world. Therefore, speak revival, speak soul, speak the harvest, speak healing, speak deliverance, and see if I will not do what I have said I would do in my word. Hallelujah. It shall be done. So I pray this last prayer for healing. As you type in what you need, neuropathy, Sister Jeanette, I see that. In Jesus' name, be healed. Right knee, healed. Haka, sondo, ribaha, korindadabaha. Shingles, disappear, Jeanette, off your husband's face. Alex, your stomach, lay your hands on your stomach and be healed. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, your 83-year-old friend, Kota Bazinga, heal his ears. Find him, brother Tressa, and put your fingers in his ears and command hardness of hearing. Come out of those ears. Hallelujah. Sinus is healed. Tear duct in the left eye, healed. Kidney disease, go. Pain in your body, hip and right leg. Husband's blood pressure, Enid, go down. Reginald Perry, healing in your back. Glory. Fibromyalgia, Jolan Teeter. Oh, Christopher Hubbard. Hello, buddy. Casa Bondaho. Tammy Wright, hip and knee. Betty, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Sister Vicky in West Virginia, healing. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother Smallwood's on. Hello, buddy. Kidinko, Robo, Jinga, Carmella. Hallelujah. Kim Hallett, glory to God. Hallelujah. Salvation, Kim. Yeah, we'll believe. Sheila Martin in Tennessee, glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And so, friend, in the name of Jesus, as you release your faith, the Holy Spirit of God comes on you. Everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
Walk in love, joy, and peace. Tonight at 11, Brother John, we're going to talk about the nations that are about to be shaken. We're going to take the mask off. Amen.
Looking forward to it.
Find out what in hell is going on. Amen.
That's tonight at 11 New York City time. And before we call it a day, I want to give you an opportunity to give into two ministries. You know my uncle's ministry. If you didn't know it before, you've been listening to him for almost 2 hours. And God's been using him for going up on 50 years. And he hasn't stopped during lockdown, putting the tent up and preaching and getting people saved. And then you know what we do. And we just this week began preaching 5 nights a week in prime time, 9 o'clock p.m. on the entire continent of Africa, from Cairo, Egypt, to Cape Town, South Africa, and then the U.K. as well. So 3 continents we reach. And in making that move, I'm believing God for 72 people that'll sow $1,000. This week, I was saying this month, but I think it's going to come
in a week.
I'll so,
give you 1,000.
So there's one down, 71 to go.
71 to go.
And I know many of you want to give, and I'm going to give you the best thank you gift we've ever given out just on today's broadcast. Every one of the books my Uncle Ted has written, plus his recording music, they're going to put it up right now. I'm going to send you all of these. 3 keys to building greater faith.
Now, they can download that overseas instead of mailing it to them if they go to the website, my website.
Storms Pass Over.
Yeah.
The Sixth Sense Called Faith. How to Operate in the Gifts of the Spirit. Is that out?
Oh, yeah. All of these that you're showing are done. I'm almost done with the book I said last December when I was here. Then this stupid problem hit and they shut down all the publishing companies. But Teddy found another one that's just opening back up. I should have that book ready shortly. I mean, we've got the manuscript. He's going to go through it. But the only reason we delayed is because it seems like everybody shut down.
Keep showing them. How to Destroy the Works of
that's
a Buffeting
a great
Spirit.
Book. How to Be Delivered from Fear and Anxiety and Worry and Panic Attacks. That is a revelation book right there.
Keep going. What I've learned about the blessing.
Yeah, those are keys to living a life of abundance.
The road to healing.
Foreword by Dr. Oral Roberts. That's the last foreword he wrote for a minister before he died. He sent it to me. He called me one day and said, Brother Ted, the Lord showed me this morning, you're in the healing ministry with me. He said, I know you were Brother Shambach, but you're in it with me too. I said, wow. Took advantage. I said, could you write a foreword for my book on healing? Which he did. Then he went to heaven. Amen. Singing.
Wonderful peace. So if people said they're battling anxiety, one way to get rid of that is controlling the atmosphere with the presence of God, and that music helps with that. Next, or is that it?
I didn't know you had all these.
So I'm going to send for everybody that becomes one of the 72 that sows a thousand. Yeah, that counts, Susan. Even $1,000 Canadian, even though it's colorful, playful-looking money, it still counts.
Just don't wash it in the washer. It shrinks.
As a way to say thank you, because we appreciate you standing with us, I'm going to send you every book that my Uncle Ted's written, along with his music CD, and that'll be a blessing to you. And if you don't have the $1,000, God never asks you to give what you don't have, so you don't have to feel under any pressure. But consider giving the tithe and believing God for the rest, because I'm going to... do this challenge the rest of the month. So if you can't do 1,000, but you want to do something, consider doing 100 or more. Do what you can. But I'm going to ask everybody to ask the Lord what he'd have them to give and to sow it now. So they're going to put up on the screen how you can do that. You can put the full screen one up. If you're watching on Facebook, hashtag donate. You can text RT to 50155. If you're in the United States, you can do it by Cash App, $RTGive. Internationally, revivaltoday.com/PayPal. Thank you, Nathan. And then you can mail it the old-fashioned way. Make it out to Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania, 15329. However you give, make sure you go on revivaltoday.com and click Claim Your Offer. Because we have 24 hours of programming on, and the staff can't be guessing which program you watched. And we don't want you to get the wrong thank you gift, and then there's weirdness between you and
me. So what program was this that we just did?
The 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock on Thursday. Wow. You know, days are going by so quick, aren't they?
They are.
I will say those are the best of my teachings of 40 years. And the Lord instructed me to put them in book form, teaching. Downloads. I didn't know you had them. I guess maybe someone in the office put that together for you.
We're just going to order all of them from your office. I just offer everything you have on your website.
I didn't know. I have another one I'll add to it. It's called The Prophecy Generation. There's only about 100 of those left. So if you can give 1,000, you'll get a little booklet I wrote years ago about Israel and what's happening right now, but just on scripture. It's called The Prophecy Generation. I'll make a note of that because we'll add it to the pack.
And I'll tell you what, everybody that sows whatever amount you sow, I'll send you one of my uncle's books that I featured. So everybody will get something. But I wanted to do that $1,000 challenge as we're going to start hitting three continents at once on television plus social media. So thanks for standing with us. I'll give you a little time to sow. You guys can put the ways to give back up.
Praise God. You're doing real good, John. Everybody in our family's been watching you. And I think my mom said that she was going to get saved and become a partner.
I don't think she said that.
No, she didn't, yeah.
If she's not saved, nobody's saved.
Oh, okay.
I think
she's watching right now, Mom. I tell you, I've got a great mother.
If all of those convenient ways to give are too confusing, you can always go, especially if you're on the app, you're right there anyway. Just go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now. Or if you're on the Revival Today app, you can do it that way. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, everybody who's giving and saying you're mailing in or whatever. I believe you. I believe you, Susie.
Prophecy Generation, Linda. That's right. I'll add it to that $1,000 offer that my nephew just made. because I really believe we're living in the last. You know who's doing a great job teaching on prophecy now is your father. Mm-hmm. Someone told me he was, and I went on and watched one. And he has a knack for that. He just dissects it and studies it, and he does real good. Amen.
Yeah, it does very well.
And Bob DeAndrea, I think, had mentioned to him he'd like him to put it on as a teaching series on CTN.
He did mention that to him. Thank you, Margaret. I'll give you a few more minutes to give. Get your seed in the ground, then we'll pray for you and call it a day and hook back up with you at night.
11 o'clock tonight. I like that skyline behind us. I remember one time you and I took that guy up there on that building and threw him off. Remember that? But anyhow.
Lord forgives. God's not concerned with the past. We all have bad days.
He sure did. Oh, funny. Hey, folks, if you can't laugh, you're not going to make it.
That's a fact.
Praise God.
It was great today. Great work.
You know, I laughed at a dog the other day until he lowered his eyes and ears and turned around and ran away. He came out yipping. I mean, you know, these little yippers, they're about 2 inches high. I'm standing there with my walking stick. Just a tap on his head would have sent him into la-la land. And I went, ha, like that. And he dropped his ears and turned and went away. Amen.
Zimbabwe watching.
Yeah, we love Zimbabwe.
I've almost been to your country. I've been on the Zambia-Zimbabwe border.
Who do we know in Zimbabwe, Bonnie? Job Sabali? No, that's Maui. No, not Maui. Malawi. Praise God. Isn't this great? People from all over the world are tuning in. And what is this new thing you're doing, three continents? Is that through Faith Africa, Faith USA, Faith Europe?
Faith in UK and Africa and CTN in the United States.
And then what about India? Did that guy ever put that together?
No. And their numbers were phony, so pulled out.
Numbers were phony. Nothing I hate worse, Brother John, than phony numbers.
If you offer 10 free books to the first 10 callers and no one calls, no one's watching.
Pretty much, yeah. You test your markets like I do.
Sure do. I do now.
I always did.
Not me. I actually believed Christians for about a year.
So you believe that Christians are in charge of everything.
Yeah, that was my mistake, I guess.
One time, Dad was holding a meeting down in southern West Virginia, and a dog came out and started barking, talking about a dog. And the pastor looked at Dad, and he said, I always heard that if animals and children don't like people, there's something wrong with them. Dad looked right back at him and said, it's a sad day in the church when we've left discerning of spirits to the dogs.
That's great.
Yeah, I thought it was. I still tell Dad's jokes.
Thank you, Jerry and Stella, whichever one of you.
Well,
or both of you.
They're a blessing. Lynn Ann Lycom's on from California. I know that lady. I know the next lady. Yes, Adala Shuttlesworth. God bless you. Replying back, though. Hello, Arthur.
Hey, Kenya.
Dotson. God bless him.
Watson in Kenya. Great to have you.
Man, from all over the world. This is great. Hey, did you know I finally started my iRadio station?
I knew you were going to.
And we're getting ready to load one of your messages on. I just put Teddy on, one of your dad's. Primarily, it's all about me, though.
It should be.
No. We even got one on for Southern folk called Nashville Sounds. I had a guy, a friend of mine in Nashville, take all of the gospel music. I listened to it, make sure it was faith-filled, because a lot of the Nashville music, you know, when they sing, they put the mic under their nose.
Yes.
And sometimes it's not scriptural. But I cleansed it up, and it is pretty good. And then I got my wife on, Bonnie, and my daughter, Megan. It's going to be great. I'm going to call it the Shuttlesworth Family Network, because I'm going to put Pastor Tim, Uncle Terry, Preston. You know, Preston can preach.
Yeah, he's a good preacher.
Yeah. And as soon as I heard him, I thought, man, that's pretty good. Pretty soon, you guys will take over, and the brothers, my brothers and the older generation.
He had quite the year to launch into the traveling ministry, and he did it anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's always good to start. during a pandemic. That proves it. Hey, did you see the CDC website? Not only are things flattened as far as deaths, Governor Cuomo said today, 4 days without a death, and I like this, I like it, the cause of death in America is no longer COVID-19 as being even epidemic.
Yep.
It dropped below 7.2%. Number one cause of death in America now is abortions, and COVID is down to number 5, headed to 6.
Praise God.
So do people know that? I don't know. I don't watch the news. Do they say that every day on the news?
No, they don't.
That it's no longer an a pandemic? It's not even an epidemic?
They haven't said it once.
You mean CNN does not say that?
You know, they did a...
I can't believe that.
They did a poll of the American people. How many people do you think have had COVID, if you had to guess? And how many people do you think died of it? People guessed in America that 20% of people have had COVID and 9% of the population has died from the news.
Yeah.
It's like 1% or less have had it and point something. You know, they think 10, from the news, they think 30 million people have died. No wonder they're wearing a mask and a face shield in their car by themselves.
If you stood 10 Americans in front of you, one of those Americans, just their lower legs and feet represent how many have died.
Right.
No, I said that wrong. How many have tested for COVID? And then if you just left the toes, that's how many have died of it.
Right.
And the other 9 are doing okay.
That's right.
And it's so ridiculous, but I figure people will figure it out. Americans aren't stupid. And, you know, but I hate the fear. Let me tell you why I hate the fear. We had a lady in our town, went out in her garage and committed suicide. She was so fearful, she gassed herself with her car.
Right.
And... the media is responsible for every death like that.
That's right.
Every suicide. In eternity's day, my dad used to say, God always needs one thing to judge people in eternity's day. And for you that are fear-mongers and trying to scare the people for your own agendas or whatever it might be, you're responsible for the death of every suicide in America.
That's right.
Right now. No question. And drug addiction, sky high, opioids. Oh, boy, I tell you, some of them just need a good old spanking.
That's a fact. And on that note, we will see you at 11 o'clock tonight for a very special Check the News, where my uncle, Evangelist Ted Shuttlesworth Sr., is going to continue on the word that the Lord gave him concerning how this year is going to finish out.
And make sure to get that $1,000 in, because some of that material is going out of print. And we're redoing some things. So this might be the last time you can get that whole package is on John's, Evangelist John's broadcast here.
Thank you, Linda. People still giving. I really appreciate you, and we love you. I hope you enjoyed today. If you didn't, there's something wrong with you, but you can make up for it tonight. Tonight will be even better for myself, for my Uncle Ted, my Aunt Bonnie, everybody here at the Revival Today Studios. We love you. Have the best day you've ever had.
And Skippy, the Wonder Dog.
Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now and be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.